Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's the type of win. Oh. That's a legitimate fog game for me. You know, sometimes I told you, sometimes I don't feel like in the fog. That. This was, I wanted the fog machine in the car on the way home, spraying it out the window down I-5 as I headed back to Sacramento. This win galvanizes the community. It brings the basketball world together.
The Kings beating the Houston Rockets on a Saturday brings the NBA world together?
At least for one night. In my mind.
Yeah.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Oh, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. I am amped tonight, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah.
I am juiced.
I can tell.
The Sacramento Kings stamped the Deuce Mason favorite win of the season on the box score.
They've used that stamp a few times.
No, this one is official.
Got it.
It is certified my favorite win of the season.
Wow.
The Sacramento Kings lose Domantas Sabonis about a minute into this game, a hamstring injury. We don't know the severity. He did not return to the game. Kings taking on a Rockets team that's trying to get it together. They've won a couple in a row, and they got a jolt of energy because Fred VanVleet was back after missing the last 11 games. They were only 5-6 during that stretch. They're really good with him. He was back in the fold tonight. You lose Sabonis. What's it all going to look like? How would the Kings handle a physical defense? A defense that's fourth in defensive rating and fifth in points per game allowed in the league and a great rebounding team. The Kings, full of dogs, including a big Lithuanian giant off the bench. Jonas Valanciunas coming up big off the bench. 15 points, 14 boards. Can't forget about the career high tying four steals and three blocks. 4+3, that's 7 stocks. Keon Ellis was big. Zach LaVine with 20. And the Sacramento Kings get the ultimate team win on the road against the Houston Rockets. 113-103. They are now 31-28 with the Dallas loss tonight to Milwaukee. The Kings have gone from 10 to 8th in the NBA's Western Conference.
Insane.
Oh, it's a beautiful night. And it's such a fun time to talk some Kings basketball. This podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. I'm Juice Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a good night. It's a Saturday night. There's just something about Saturday night hoops that are always more fun. But when you see a win like this, it just, it feels great.
You know what I love about tonight?
What do you love about tonight?
I didn't get to watch this live. I went back and watched it after calling a Stockton Kings game. And I saw the final score, still went back and watched it. Obviously, we do a damn podcast about it. But sometimes it's not as fun on the watch back.
Yeah.
This was more fun.
Yep.
I need you guys to think about this for a second. And you guys can go ahead and try to knock me back down. I'm feeling really excited right now. The Kings have beat the Rockets twice coming into this game tonight. You know him, Ime Udoka, and those guys are more than aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings went to their house and beat them. They controlled this game tonight. The Rockets got the lead at one point, but the Kings weren't rattled at all. And I loved everything I saw. To me, this was a team effort. This is the best defense that this group has played as a team since the trade. This is the best the offense has looked since the trade in terms of pace, ball movement. It looks like a group that was really connected tonight, and they did it without Domantas Sabonis, who gets hurt a minute into this game. This is a big time win. The Kings are now 18-10 under Doug Christie. What did you love about tonight?
I mean, everything that you just pretty much mentioned. I mean, that's the story of the night. You're going up against what? The number one rebounding team in the league in the Houston Rockets. You lose the number one rebounder in the league in Domantas Sabonis, and you find a way to not only get the dub, but also in that category, still out-rebound this team. And, you know, just by a few.
It doesn't. You out-rebounded 46, it tonight.
Exactly. And the out-rebounding, that number, that category, especially at the half, it just felt like the Kings were turning it on. They were dominating. You're expecting the Houston Rockets to make adjustments, and they did. But the Kings kept adjusting to their adjustments. The Kings never let go. They remained locked in, energized, playing up. And guys, I mean, you just said it on the defensive end alone. You think about the ball pressure that was there from everybody, even from guys that you're not used to seeing it from.
Man.
They're locked in there, which just gave the second line of defense a little bit less pressure. Right? Like, it wasn't just going to be like, all right, I got to be in help every single time and no one can do their job. No, everyone was doing their job. Everyone was communicating. Everyone was moving on a string. It just looked so together, so good.
You know how big of a basketball sicko I am?
How big of a basketball sicko are you?
I take notes during games, right?
Yeah.
Still got all my notes done for tonight.
How?
Basketball sicko, man.
I mean, well, that's not really like
in
a breakdown of how. That's
I'm locked in. What do you want to say? Look at all this, man. I got my lineups all ready to go, all my notes.
That is pretty strange. Why are you laughing?
This win feels good. And it's weird to say it feels that good when you lose Domantas Sabonis. The Sabonis thing, to hit on that, and then we're going to go back to everything we liked about the game, okay?
Okay.
Sabonis did not look right from the jump tonight.
No.
And this is concerning, one, because it's a hamstring. But two, this is something that looked like was bugging him in the Utah win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had 2 days off. And he lasted until the 10:44 mark.
Yeah.
Doug Christie calls a timeout and pulls him. He had to get a little help back to the locker room. Hamstring things are just not a joke at all. So you hope for the best. Sabonis is a tough guy, but re-aggravating something like that could be even a longer setback. Yeah. It'd be very surprising if he was not out for a couple of weeks here.
I don't want to speculate.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You're right. It's not fair to say.
It's a hamstring injury. I know. But like, I mean, even when Keon left the game the other day with his ankle, we didn't know what was going to happen. He ended up playing the next game. I'm not saying that this is the same thing. I'm just saying I caught myself speculating in that time. Let's just not speculate. But if
you were an amateur doctor.
So let's speculate. We can, after we talk about all the good, I think we can talk about, okay, what is this team going to look like without Sabonis on this road trip even that?
Well, like, a good test was tonight against this Rockets team. And so Sabonis goes down really early.
Yeah.
That means Christie immediately goes to Jonas Valanciunas. And all I could think about tonight watching Valanciunas out there was, thank the basketball gods.
Thank them.
That the Kings traded not only for like a backup big, but a guy who has started in this league for years, who is comfortable starting. Is it a perfect solution? No, but if he plays like he did tonight, that's all you can ask for. Rebound well, second chance opportunities, being big, verticality, using your size to your advantage. There was one play with the pick and roll. I believe it was with Monk, and Thompson got around and recovered on the Monk.
Okay.
Who was still trying to drive to the basket. And Valanciunas just bodies Şengün out of the way that allows Monk to get to the basket. He's doing that type of stuff. The tip outs on rebounds, the physicality. It's such a big pickup for the Kings.
Huge.
And it's going to be even bigger here with him starting going forward.
Yeah. And that's why it's like, it's so important to have depth that isn't a huge drop off, right? Like, obviously it's difficult to just have that in every single position on any roster around the league, unless you construct it correctly when it comes to contracts and pieces, whatever. It's still very, very important. And I feel like the Kings haven't truly had that for a little bit now. I mean, you go back to even like Rashawn Holmes and all the way back there, and you think about that position.
Dude, it's been a revolving door.
It totally has. And so to feel that confidence in another big with someone like Sabonis possibly going down for a little bit, I think it gives you a lot of confidence, not only as like someone who's watching the game, but I think for this team as well, that next man up mentality and everyone just rallying behind one another and keeping that same positive energy mentality. Usually when a guy goes down, that can really be deflating and take you down. And not once did I feel that from these guys.
I thought he gave them a huge jolt of energy. And the other thing that popped to me is the Kings ran so much more pick and roll. And it wasn't just Monk and Valanciunas.
Let's talk about that.
It was LaVine and Valanciunas.
Yes.
It was DeRozan and Valanciunas. It was Keon Ellis and Valanciunas. And what that created was beautiful. The Kings can spread you out, and when you've got some shooting on the floor, especially with lineups that have like LaVine, Keegan, and Keon Ellis out there, three really good three-point shooters, the floor is spaced so nice. Valanciunas has so much size, and the guys just make the right play, and it felt like the Kings got threes out of it, you know, floaters out of it. They got Valanciunas a few times out of it. It just was really effective for them in this game.
Yeah, And I think when you look at that two-man game with Jonas Valanciunas and all the different guys and all the different pieces, it does make you wonder, okay, well, even seeing that, is that something that when Sabonis is back on the floor, you could see a little bit more of? It doesn't just have to be Malik
right.
Monk. It doesn't just have to be chemistry. It can just be the fundamentals of a pick and roll, the fundamentals of having a big that can screen like a mofo. I was going to say motherfucker, but I didn't want to say it, and then I just said it.
I guess say mofo is almost worse.
I know,
than that.
I know.
Who says mofo?
I was like, it was coming out of my mouth like a mother mofo. so anyway, Sabonis, brick wall. Jonas Valanciunas, brick wall. Yeah. And how these guys screen in the NBA, like, it's talked about. It is felt. They are very good screeners. Something else that Mike Bibby mentioned tonight, he was like, yeah, Jonas gets away with that little, like, hip check on the screen.
Sure.
But he's like, he's so good at, he's been doing it for a long time, that he knows how to do it in a way where it's like, you're going to use it to your advantage without getting called. I mean, we see that all around the league, whether it's a guy on a pump fake, a guy selling something, and they just have been doing it for years and they know how to do it. And so for Jonas Valanciunas to come in to execute that with so many different guys in this roster, it makes you feel confident going forward.
He had 8 screen assists tonight. Ooh. Too. So, yeah, and Sabonis, the Kings are near the top of the NBA in screen assists, yeah, anyway, because of Sabonis. But Valanciunas just stepped in and did a tremendous job. And I, you know, the Rockets could get some, like, Şengün was a problem. Like, he's a talented player, mm-hmm, but he made him work at times. He fouled him hard. And I just thought that your point, the, like, second line of defense and the help defense tonight was so good.
Yeah.
It felt like they were, like, really on a string tonight. And even when they did mix in some zone, they didn't do a shit ton of it.
Yeah.
They did enough of it when Şengün was out of the game, when they had Steven Adams out there. And it really did mess with the Rockets.
Dude, and they just kept... I believe it was because of their communication. And I think they had to rely on different things that they weren't used to, because they were down one of their main pieces, an anchor on the defensive end in Domas Sabonis. And they had to talk it up too, because they knew how they needed to crash the boards correctly. They knew where they needed to put a body on somebody. It was just going to be an all-around team effort at a different level. But that's just got to be the mentality every single night, you know, with or without Sabonis on the floor.
Big-time performance from Jonas Valanciunas.
Keep talking about defense. I know we want to talk about Keon, but I also wanted to mention Keegan first.
Let's go Keegan first.
Yeah.
Keegan had a really good game. His defense on Jalen Green, yep, tonight.
Loved it. I mean, again,
especially late when it, you know, the game looked like it was okay. The Kings have control of this, but in this league, you just don't know. And we've seen the Kings gag leagues before.
Yeah.
And you need stops, and dude was all over the place.
His ability to sit down in a stance and be that bigger body, especially on someone like Jalen Green, who can be quick, be crafty, get by you, be explosive.
Not an easy matchup.
No, but Keegan was doing such a good job of sitting down, staying in front, and he takes up so much room because he is a bigger body. He's a bigger wing, and his ability to take that room, take that space, take that vision and opportunities away from someone like Jalen Green, it just, that pressure was there tonight. And obviously Jalen Green still finished with 24 points, but you just think about what Keegan does on ball night after night after night. And tonight was just another one of those nights.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. Jalen Green's a super talented player, and I thought Keegan made him work. I'd be interested tomorrow to look at, what was Jalen's percentage with Keegan on him?
Ooh.
You know, he did, like you said, he finished 9 of 20, yeah, 24 points, 4 of 10 from downtown. A couple other Keegan moments tonight on the offensive end. Early in that first quarter, just a loud play. And he's done such a great job rebounding this year. That putback jam he had off the Monk missed three, that came out with pick and roll coverage. And Monk got an open three, I believe. And Keegan came crashing in with the putback jam.
Yeah, timed it out perfectly. And just the crashing the boards from everybody tonight, but Keegan finishing with those 5. I just felt like, you know, everyone that played pretty much had a rebound. And it just shows the mindset of what needed to be done without one of the best rebounders in the league in there.
Yeah, it was really impressive to see that, like, gang rebounding. Because I'm looking right now, you had 14 from Valanciunas, pretty much played starter minutes. Keon had 5. Trey had 4. LaRavia had 4. Trey had 5, including 3 offensive rebounds. Mm. LaVine with 6. Monk with 5. 5 from Keegan.
Yep.
Pretty crazy.
I mean, everybody yep. contributing, everybody crashing the boards. Deuce, that's what you want to see night in and night out. And this is
they
again,
did that last game too.
Against a Utah, good yeah. rebounding team. And against Utah and the Hornets, you know, you knew that they had to obviously play some better basketball. They're playing some of the worst teams in the league, whatever. I was really curious how they were going to come out against the Houston Rockets. And I think about this Rockets team being physical, crashing the boards, playing fast. And the Kings never allowed the Rockets to dictate how they wanted them to play the game. And that alone gave me a lot of confidence going forward tonight.
One other Keegan play I wanted to bring yeah. up. Actually, a couple more. Second quarter, he attacks Şengün. Okay. He's in the corner, attacks Şengün, goes strong at him, gets an and one.
Uh-huh.
We're seeing more of that from Keegan Murray, attacking closeouts or just aggressive drives to
aggressive
the basket.
Keegan.
Love that. The other favorite play of the first half, Jalen Green driving, Keon Ellis with the strip, the push ahead, and then Keegan like a fading corner three. Boom, in transition. Kings led the half 63-59. Mm. The other thing we should acknowledge, too, the Kings got off to... We've been talking about got to get off to better starts. Why aren't they getting off to better starts? Turnovers, blah, 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 right? They got off to a fantastic start in this one. They led 19-3
yeah.
at its peak.
Yeah.
They end up leading after 125-21, but a much better start for the Kings.
Yeah. The way that they came out, just so dominant, so strong. And I mean, obviously the Rockets, they were going to answer back at some point and go on a run, and they did. But I just, again, Sabonis went out with 90 seconds, whatever, into the game. And that was still, the Kings still just were like, okay, pedal to the metal. We're going to continue to play this style of basketball. We are going to play strong. We're going to play hard. And they never stopped, even when, obviously, the Rockets came back and found a way to even get the lead. It was like their confidence never went away.
Yep.
And they kept playing the same style that they were playing.
What a win.
Keon
Ellis.
Yep.
Keon's had a lot of great games this year.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to laugh at me.
But this, I'm giving him the stamp of the best game of the year for Keon Ellis.
When I say best, I'm saying this is my favorite. Like, this, okay. This is my favorite win.
This
right
is my
now.
Favorite.
My new favorite win. Boston was up there. The Minnesota game after Fox got traded up there.
And this is your favorite Keon game?
There is a theme. It's like always when Fox is out, I'm like, yeah. You know, this time Sabonis is up. I think this is my favorite Keon game
because
defensively, he was the same guy he always is. He wasn't like, it wasn't a game where he's knocking down seven threes. It was the offensive plays he was making tonight. And I'm like, dude, the growth. I mean, twice attacking closeouts with like step throughs, mm-hmm. getting the reverse, getting to the basket, the touch that like, you didn't really see these aspects of his game last year or maybe even earlier this year.
Yeah.
You could tell his confidence is a different level. It's not just attacking closeouts with a floater. We've seen that, mm-hmm. but it's attacking closeouts, being patient, pump fake, step through, boom. I'm like, oh shit. He's showing me some footwork now. He's showing me some finesse, some creativity. It's just a more complete game.
Well,
it's one thing to be a catch and shoot 3-and-D guy, but now you're seeing him add different layers, and that's exciting.
Even on a lower level, we were seeing that toward the end of his G League sure. time, right? Where he was creating for himself, being the best player on the team, whatever he needed to do, like just being confident with the basketball on the offensive end. And I think as soon as his role kept growing and growing, obviously with the Sacramento Kings, it was, he's a very humble take and personality on himself, the game, all the things. He's just very much, and he said this before, it is what it is. And he's not the type to just go out and grab it. But if he's empowered and told, go the fuck out there and grab it, then he's like, yes, sir, will do. And that's what, and the fact that he like is told, empowered, and executes, does it. And you're exactly right. The way that we've seen his game evolve, not only from things that we knew he could already do, but the fact that he's actually doing them out there within the flow of the game, within the flow of the offense, and not being like, oh, I'm out here with Zach LaVine, so like he should get the ball, or DeMar. It's no, do your thing.
Yep. 12 points for him on 4 of 5 shooting. He was 3 of 3 at the free throw line because he got fouled on the 3-pointer. He also had 5 rebounds. 5 steals in this game and a block.
Career high 5 steals.
And at the moment, NBA.com keeps updating. I just refreshed it a second ago. It did have him at 5 deflections.
Mm-hmm.
I just refreshed it again. It was at 6. Refreshed it. It's at 7. NBA.com is updating right now because they go through and chart it. At the moment, the guy's already at 7 deflections.
Oh my God, it's at 17.
Valanciunas, yeah. I lied. An update on his... Well, they've got him at 10 screen assists tonight and 4 deflections.
He was at 7 3 minutes
That's
ago.
That's what I'm saying. Numbers are still pouring in at this. Yeah, let's take a look. We're going to take a look at what is happening right now. And we're getting more numbers, of course. Mm-hmm. These are not complete. People still reporting at this hour. We can tell you. Jonas Valanciunas, the screen assist in a great position. Hour ago, they were at 8. Move to 10. Keon Ellis deflections start a little bit ago at 3. More numbers. We're getting reports out of Houston, Texas, big state. Houston, huge city in the state of Texas. Keon Ellis, 7 deflections at this hour. Wolf? Are you no-selling my John King?
No, I thought it was really good. I just couldn't do my Wolf. It's like, it takes a lot of effort. Don't come with her.
At this hour, we'll keep you updated.
Oh, that's great. Good shit.
No, but Keon's defense, I mean, the plays he made defensively tonight, Şengün ended up having 6 turnovers. I want to say 4 of them were because of Keon Ellis, like stepping in through the passing lanes. There was one play I loved late. I think it was Thompson got the step on Keon Ellis, mm-hmm. Okay? Valanciunas come over and help. Big body.
Yep.
Using your size, your length,
big
right?
Big dude.
And Keon peels off because Valanciunas comes over to help. Thompson is like hugged up against the baseline. Uh-huh. There's only one place for him to go. And Keon just stepped right in front of the defender. And it was just, it was like, wow.
They're reading it well.
Whoa, those two are building some connection now. Yep. And Keon's just a smart player. Like he just has great feel and defensive instincts. But it was just nice to see Valanciunas at the right spot. Keon making the right decision. Yeah. That's what we talk about. Defense on a string. Love that shit.
High IQ moments.
I'm just.
I know.
This was a clap your that ass game.
Clap the your that ass?
Yeah, clap your that ass game. Okay? They clap that ass tonight. This Houston team has a reputation of being physical. Thing. They have a reputation of getting in people's heads. The Kings, in these 3 meetings this year, have matched or exceeded the expectation. It was the Rockets who looked kind of rattled at times, uh-huh. Right? Love that.
Well, and this isn't an excuse for them, but I am curious, putting Fred VanVleet back into the lineup for the first time since what, February 3rd or whatever it was, it was his last game. You know, he could not get things going. He was 1 of 7 from 3-point land, 1 of 8 from the field, and finished with 3 points. And I think about how that can take sometimes a team like out of whack, especially when he's playing 35 minutes. But at the same time, we've seen what this Houston Rockets team is capable. Other players are capable of doing. And it was truly the Kings defense that was slowing them down. The Kings energy of the offense that was doing things to this Rockets defense that they couldn't slow down, that they couldn't stop. And just so much good on both ends of the floor for the Kings.
VanVleet definitely did not look like he was in basketball shape.
No.
First game back after a while.
Yeah.
You're right. It's like, he missed 11 games over this last stretch.
35 minutes, though.
And he plays 35 minutes.
Like,
that's
insane.
One way to get basketball shape. He was 1 of 8 shooting. 1 of 7 from downtown in the loss for Houston. The other guy I want to talk about defensively, because Zach LaVine actually got that matchup a little bit tonight. I thought Zach LaVine's defense in this game was really strong.
It was.
Even switching out in Jalen Green at times, Thompson a couple of times.
Sure.
It just felt like he was he is definitely at a point right now in how many games has he been with Sacramento? 9, 10 games now?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He he just looks more comfortable. I don't ever look at him as a lockdown defender. I just need you in the right spots. I need you not to be late on plays. He was not late. He was into guys' airspace.
Yep. You're athletic as hell.
Yep.
And although, even if you don't have certain defensive fundamentals within your game, you're athletic and you're a high IQ player. Rely on those things as much as you can. And when you do, like, you have to stay locked in. When you're not, when you don't have all the other skill sets on the defensive end of sitting down, being able to just, like, keep stay in front of someone, whatever, you got to rely on what you do have. And I felt like tonight was one of those nights where he was doing more of that. And by him doing that and staying locked in all game long, most of the game at least, it allows your teammates to also do their jobs at a very high level. I mean, that's something we've talked about with so many different players over the last couple of years on the Kings defensive end, just being a liability, just someone who's like if you just keep your hands up in the passing lanes, like, do you know what you can accomplish if you're just doing these simple things? And I felt like every person was pretty much doing those simple fundamental things.
The one area they got picked apart tonight at times was when Lyle stepped up, I thought, came in, and he was playing that backup five tonight. They went into pick and roll with Şengün.
Oh, yeah.
And they got whatever they wanted. You know, it felt like Lyles was maybe out of position, and then Şengün's getting downhill, and the weak side defender or the help defender is just not there. A lot of times that's DeMar DeRozan, where he's just late, or he's like, I'm not doing that. Like, what? It's Şengün. What am I gonna do there? And so those are moments where I'm like, God damn, like you're getting picked apart a little bit here. Şengün is obviously a big ass dude. I thought they should have just ran that every single play with Lyles, and that's what I would have done. They did in the second half try to go at Lyles a lot, and I thought there were moments like Lyles, after a couple plays in a row where Lyles got exposed, he did battle, and that's a tough match. It's just a tough matchup for Trey Lyles. Like, Şengün is a beast. He's a big ass dude, but Şengün got a little sloppy late, and I thought they did a much better job not just letting Lyles get picked apart. Lyles is playing more physical. So
adjustments in the in-game adjustments, whether it's coaching adjustments or just players understanding what they had to change as well. And especially without having someone like Sabonis out there. I truly felt like DeMar said a couple games ago, I think it was after the Hornets game, it was, you know, the importance of every single game. Like, every single game is a very important game. And I just didn't feel that with their actions in the Jazz game. Even though a win's a win, they got the dub, but it was without marketing. It was without Collins. I don't give a shit. It was a win, but it just wasn't pretty. It was like, well, if they're going to play like this, like some of these good teams, it's not going to be fun. And they backed up what they were saying, or what I guess he was even saying, the importance and understanding that and coming in there with that type of energy, but also just being locked in the entire game. I understand it's not easy to do, and you can't just play up to your opponents and come in because you're excited to play some physical, tenacious team like the Houston Rockets. You got to do that even against some of these other teams that you're going to see along the way.
Kings are now 31-28 on the season. I need to double check this.
What?
When was the last time they were like three games over 500?
I don't know. I don't remember any of these numbers ever.
That's like, true. Why?
Like, I'm the worst person to retain any type of record.
Okay. So 3-2. This is 24-25 season, right?
Yep. That's where we're at. We're in 2025. Yep. I can remember that.
I don't want to do breaking news at this hour.
Push the button.
Just doing a...
Deuce is going to triple check.
This is the first time this season that the Kings are three games over 500.
Give me a hell yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it looks like, go ahead, take a look at it. Kings got off to a shaky start, right, Morgan? Can't forget about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They peaked at 5-3 before it kind of all went to shit, right?
Shit, yes.
Remember? Fire their coach, 13-18. Dig themselves out a big hole after a 6-game losing skid. 7 in a row got them to 20-19. I lied to you, Morgan. I lied to you at this hour. Oh! This is why we go back, and I'm glad we double-checked this. I'm getting word from producers at this hour. Jebediah telling us in the truck right now.
Why is he in the truck? We're in studio.
Production.
Okay.
Second time this year, 3 games above. They were 3 games above when they were 23-20. Back to you. They've matched their season best, huh? 23-20.
That's okay.
3 games above.
Great.
It's been a while.
It's been some time. It's been some time. I'm glad you double checked.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. It's been a while. Isn't it?
It's been a while. Is that what song you were saying?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, who is that? Like Nickelback?
I don't even know. Man.
It's been a while since I...
Stan? Stan? Is that what it's called?
What?
It's been a while. You know what I was listening to on the way to Stockton today?
What were you listening to?
Guess.
Oh, okay. Kendrick Lamar.
That'd be like the hip thing to say.
Okay, I don't know.
Dead and Company.
Oh.
I was trying to get locked
good vibes.
In.
Yeah, good vibes.
Yeah, it was.
Guess what I was listening to? Yeah, if you could guess.
Lumineers.
Stupid. But even stupider, Broadway musical songs.
Oh, do you have anything?
No, I don't.
You got a little song for us
tonight? No, I was just thinking about our next live show, and I was like, I got to start listening to some things to see if I can generate any good ideas.
Oh my God, Bass in the chat is saying they've been 4 games above 500. I just did this big performance. And
that's why I said, like, don't.
I know. I tend to do that a lot.
You do, and it's fun, though, as long as you go back and...
When were they 4 games above 500?
Check it out.
5-3. Then they go 9-10, 13-13, lose 7 in a row. They're 13-19. They dig out of it, get to 23-20. I'm going to say that Bass, I got an update for you at this hour.
Oh.
You are wrong.
Are you calling him a liar?
No, I'm just saying he's wrong.
Oh, okay. Don't
real fast going back to Zach LaVine. Yeah. We talked about his defense, which I love the fact that we could talk about Zach LaVine's defense tonight. Offensively, much more decisive. You're seeing his comfortability the last few games has skyrocketed. And, you know, going back to that 32-10 game he had, it was a loss in New Orleans. So
sure.
you dismiss it. But since then, it's looked really good.
And tonight
he finished with 20 points, 6 rebounds. Couple of steals, 4 turnovers, some of them, but 8 of 16 shooting. He was 2 of 5 from downtown. I thought he got great looks.
That's what I loved from him tonight. And I thought he was scoring in different ways. But every time he was scoring, it was with confidence. Mm-hmm. And midseason trades are obviously difficult. And it's difficult when you seem to be a good teammate or a good guy and you want to make sure you fit in and you're not just taking over. How do you find that balance? I mean, I don't know. I've never been in that position. But for him, I'm sure that's why a lot of it was clunky. And a lot of it was like, okay, I'm just trying to find my spots, where it's like a lot of your spots needs to be you being aggressive. It's just like whenever we talk about Keegan Murray, an aggressive Keegan Murray is beneficial to the team. It's being a good teammate. An aggressive Zach LaVine, even missing some shots, whatever it may be. I mean, still just an efficient night, 8 of 16 from the field. It's like, yeah, that's what you want to see. And I think he's finally finding that flow for himself.
It felt like everyone who played tonight had a big role.
Yes. You know,
I want to see more Markelle Fultz. I just like what he
brings. You're not
out
the
there.
Only one that keeps saying that. I feel like I've heard that so much from people, but I'm so with that. I don't know how you find time for that. Doug talked about it before the game, even of like how he wants so many guys to have playing time. He just doesn't know how to find that for everyone. But with someone like Markelle Fultz, especially if you do struggle with Malik Monk as your point guard, like that's when maybe I think you go more in that direction. because Malik Monk being in that two guard position, there was so much more dominance from him, right? And he's trying to find a way to be a point guard, to be in this role mid-season. Not to say he hasn't done this before, but it's still going to come with its challenges. And we've seen that with the way he's turned the ball over, with the way that he's still trying to find his, but find the way to play make, to be that floor general, where now it feels like you do have multiple choices at point guard.
Yeah, and I thought Malik was better tonight. I know the box score says 5 turnovers. He did throw 2 bad lobs tonight.
I know.
Of them did not result in a turnover. He tried to throw one to Markelle Fultz. Like, are we throwing lobs to Markelle Fultz in 2025? Probably not a good idea. He also had one. He tried to throw a lob to Keegan, and it was a turnover. I'm just like, all right. If we throw a lot, the next lob I see anybody throw, it needs to be an absolute gimme in transition. None of this like in traffic shit. P.S. in Stockton tonight, John opening up the fourth quarter. John Elmore. No, it's like who? John Elmore.
No, John Elmore. Duh.
Whoever gets it, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Opens up the quarter. They run a play to throw a lob to Devin Carter for a jam. In traffic, and he did it. He landed hard and looked his ankle hurt for a second.
Jesus.
But Devin looked really good tonight.
Really?
He had, I want to say he had like 24 tonight. I'd have to double check. Last game he had 34.
Yeah.
Way better tonight.
You even said that to me the other night. You're like, you know, he had 34, but he looked good. And you saying that so strongly, I'm like,
I was really impressed with him tonight.
I'm glad that he had that type of game.
All the rookies played well.
Hell yeah.
Isaac Jones, I think he's coming to the Sacramento soon. And then Isaiah Crawford.
Okay.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Zach LaVine.
Oh, lobs.
Lobs.
We need to throw the lobs. Next lob we throw has to just be on the break. There's no defenders. Throwing a lob to Keegan Murray in traffic?
What do we do? Malik's someone that just gets excited about getting something to his teammates. But you're right. It needs to be. You got to be in the clear.
There's two guys that he should be allowed to throw lobs to.
Zach LaVine.
Yep.
And
Keon Ellis.
Okay.
He's been on he's been a recipient a few times this year. Many times this year.
Yeah.
That's it. Unless it's a really obvious one. Other than that, we're not doing that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Malik ends up with 16 points. He looked more comfortable offensively tonight, which I was encouraged by. Again, we've spent so much time talking about the Kings here. This Rockets defense is really good.
I thought in the beginning of the game, he maybe was trying to force some things, and that's where like the turnovers were coming. I think he had 4 at the half.
Yeah.
But he cleaned things up and he looked better as a point guard. And I just like, I don't know. There's just something about Malik I really appreciate. His ability to really take on this role in the mentality of a point guard again, mid-season, completely have to just change up his game and his mindset. And I see it growing, I guess, is my point.
Doug Christie ended up going 10 players tonight. He also played Jake Laravia.
Yeah.
Laravia had some nice moments there. I'm ready for him to get hot from 3. He was 1 of 4 from downtown, but got some great looks. They ran some, you know, pick and pop action with him, and he was open.
Yeah.
The looks. Hustle plays out there. One of my favorite Laravia plays tonight. He got a second chance off a miss. He tracked down a second chance opportunity. LaVine goes cutting. He fires a bullet to LaVine cutting. Who like spun, had an amazing reverse and missed it.
Yeah.
But it was just, Laravia does the hustle things out there.
Yeah, he sure does. And he gets up and guys, he's long. When he made that 3, it was just, it's a pretty shot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just hoping like he can keep getting more looks and keep just like knocking down those opportunities.
And DeMar, I thought, had a really strong night offensively. 21 points. He was 7 of 18, which is a little misleading to me because he took like 3 bad shots in the final 90 seconds.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like some more, like before that, really efficient. He also had 6 assists, and that's what I like. The starters did a good job moving the ball. LaVine, I get choked up thinking about it. Had 4 assists. Monk had 4 assists. Was that good acting or
no?
What? A little bit.
Not even
4 assists apiece for LaVine and Monk. 2 from Keegan, 6 from DeRozan. I like that balance. And maybe that's the thing we need to talk about in a second. When Sabonis is back and life without Sabonis, we also have to talk about Debo versus Brooks.
Oh,
round 2.
Oh, the whole face-to-face situation, love, wasn't going to back down. Dylan Brooks pushing him, though. Come on. Like, I just, like, it's love it all, whatever. But I'm just like, how are they both getting teed up in this situation?
I said we're going to talk about coming up.
Oh, I thought it coming up was right now.
No! So we have a lot more to get to on the old podcast. I want to give some love to the people watching us live right now. You basketball sickos, it is late on a Saturday night.
Saturday!
Almost 1,000 deep.
Give me a hell yeah!
Let's go. You guys rock.
If you haven't done it yet, hit the thumbs up. Let's play guess the thumbs up, Morgan.
I'm going to guess it's got to be at like at least 600, right? Oh no, what?
293. It's like one, it's really a slap in
the face. I didn't know everyone hated us so much.
Yeah. In all honesty, hit the thumbs up. Not because it makes me feel good.
You should say please.
All it does is help our channel grow.
Say please.
Please.
Thank you.
Dear God. Please hit the thumbs up and subscribe.
Thank you, guys.
As we chase 100,000 subs. Boy,
such a stupid number.
A few more super chats
to
get
to.
What's up, Robin? Thanks so much for the $2 super chat. Thanks. Johnny donates $5. Light the beam one game at a time. Excellent win. The trade for JV showed its importance tonight.
Hell yeah, it did.
It's so true. I mean, God, I love that. Valanciunas just brings good vibes. Wagging his finger after block shots.
He's like,
there's a turnover. He pointed the other way. First down, right?
Yep.
He's getting big and physical.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Pushing, guys. I love,
it.
Reno, thanks so much for the $2.
Thank you.
Donation is what we call it.
Correct.
Clap that rocket ass. And then Oleg donating 50 Deuce and Mo podcast memberships.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thanks, Oleg.
You sick son of a bitch. This podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. Hey, cheers.
Cheers. You know, I one time had someone say to me, do you drink wine only after losses? Oh, no. You celebrate, but you can also drink to your misery, too, after some losses. But Centivo wine is good all the time. And you can get your own Centivo wine at CentivoVineyards.com. You can become a wine member. You can also check out their new tasting room that's going to be coming spring of 2025 in the Fairfield area. I mean, like we've said a million times, they're such great people.
Kings fans?
They're big, big Kings fans. I mean, they're the
season ticket holders?
Season ticket. Like, they are the best people. But what's so great is when really good people make a really good product. And so we are so lucky to partner with them. But I hope you guys try out some of their wines too, because it's some of the best stuff I've had.
We're also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One. Sign up today. You can join for up to 50% off Kings home games. Not a ton of home games left.
No.
Join up for 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch. And you never know, there could be a contest at the game where you hold up your Gold One car and they pick you and say, here's a seat upgrade. So many perks of being a Golden One member. Early access
Ooh.
To games sometimes too. Watch so a little shoot things. Around. And what better place to go for your financial
journey?
Journey.
There you go.
Than Golden One.
Nowhere else.
You scan that QR code, go to GoldenOneCreditUnion.com. Golden One, the official credit union of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also presented by our friends over at
Medic Ambulance. For over 45 years, Medic Ambulance has set the standard in emergency medical services, combining cutting-edge technology, award-winning service, and a deep commitment to community care. From life-saving responses to being the team behind the scene at all your favorite events, Medic is there to serve when seconds matter. Trust the professionals setting the standard in patient care. Learn more at medicambulance.net.
Also presented by our friends over at
Rocket Money. I was waiting for you to say it too. Thank you. Rocket Money, it's just such a great app to have to really hold you accountable for all your different subscriptions. You can go to Rocket Money and just figure out how to make sure everything is combined the right way. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features.
So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/game on today. That's rocketmoney.com/game on. That's rocketmoney.com/game on. Appreciate everyone's support. The Do Some O podcast, and Oleg gifted another 50.
Oh, you crazy, subs? Oleg. You just crazy. Thanks, Oleg.
Man, tonight. What a night.
I know.
Kings win.
John Cena turned heel.
I know you're like making light of it.
I'm this not. This is a. Dude, no. I'm not. And I didn't do that. I did not do that on the phone either. When you told me, I was like, holy shit.
WWE is doing a good job of these, like, insanely crazy moments recently. I'll never forget coming back from a Stockton Kings game with you and watching the end of a pay-per-view and you hear
I was driving.
Cult of Personality hits.
Okay.
That's how it goes, right?
Okay, yeah.
Morgan knows this, but wrestling theme songs do pump me up. Like, I hear CM Punk's theme song, and I just, like, I'm ready to go.
I wish someone would make you, like, your own theme, but, like, a wrestling version theme song for you. Like, where you were just, like, to walk through a door, and that's, like, what you feel every single time.
It'd be cool. I don't know if it would hit the same, but.
Why wouldn't it?
No, there's just certain, like, the, you know, Triple H, The Rock, the Final Boss theme. Oh my God.
I mean, God. It has to grow on people.
Yeah.
You know, it has to grow on you. You have to believe in it.
Also, there's a lot more King stuff to hit on.
Believe in Johan.
Good film.
Thank you.
The John Cena thing, someone's like, well, I mean, he gets booed all the time. Like, he's used to it. No, tonight he got cheered. So what's gonna happen is he's a heel. He faces Cody Rhodes at Mania. Cody Rhodes is going to turn heel. He's going to start getting booed because fans wanted John Cena to be heel for years. Okay. Heel is cool. That's going to happen.
We get it. You can't see me.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Appreciate everyone's support tonight. So a couple of things. Domantas Sabonis.
Yes.
Going back to him for a second. The hamstring. It was clearly an issue in the Utah game.
Mm-hmm.
He was like stretching it out late in the game and I was like, okay, well, he's just one of those guys that fights through shit all the time and you love him for it. But a hamstring is one of those issues that quite literally anyone in sports is like, hey, you aggravate that. That could be really problematic. So he had a couple days off after the Houston game. And then tonight happens early, leaves the game at the 10:44 mark. We have no update. All I know is he didn't return, and I'm checking this, you know, no notifications from any of the big guys yet to let us know, but we don't know the severity of it. He's not playing against Dallas. Can we say that? Is that safe to say? That'd be insane.
That would be insane. Yeah. I just don't understand.
So let's just pretend like we don't know.
They don't have any bigs. You know, what's the point?
That's funny.
Thanks.
We're talking about Dallas, yeah. We don't know how much time he's going to miss,
mm-mm.
But from a depth perspective, it's obviously a hit because this guy plays a significant amount of minutes and Valanciunas tonight played close to 30, just under 30 minutes. You could use Trey Lyles backup five, but beyond that, you're looking around going, oh, who else? You know, it'll be interesting to see do they look at the free agent market? That's not a lot out there in the free agent market. I think one option that just makes a lot of sense is something that I think would have happened anyway. It's converting Isaac Jones from a two-way contract to a guaranteed deal. Isaac's been playing really well in Stockton. He's been getting some good minutes. I think tonight in Stockton, I know numbers are misleading in the G League. Okay. So I don't get caught up in numbers. I get caught up in, all right, are they making the right plays? Are they doing some great things defensively?
Are they showing, like, basketball IQ out
there? Yes, exactly.
Instinct feel for the game.
Tonight, he had 18 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and a block.
Okay.
I thought he showed some really nice things the last couple of games. He's been really nice. Now, another name that, I mean, I'd be surprised, but like, Scalabissiere is with Stockton. They could give him a deal if they were really looking at that. But to me, it makes more sense to just bring Isaac up on a two-way deal, from his two-way deal to a guaranteed deal. Well, and I think that's what they'll do.
And especially since we saw him in the opportunities that he did have in his minimal NBA minutes, he didn't look like he didn't belong, you know? And I think
he's gotten better and better. That's the thing is I've seen his growth from the California Classic to now. And it's like, oh my God, like he had a turnaround jumper a couple of nights ago on Wednesday. That was just beautiful. Tonight, just some crafty finishes. And I thought defensively, just in the right spots, active hands, moving well.
Yeah.
He shot 5 threes tonight. He only made one.
Okay.
But he shot 5 of them. And this is a guy that didn't shoot threes really at all at Washington State last year. So he's getting more comfortable. And I think all aspects of the game. So
I think he has good feel for the game. And it's like you said, when you see a player grow, like I want to say like immediately, but I guess just in the short period of time that we're talking about, because we always say that what we saw in the California Classic to now, it's like he's taking in, retaining the information, the knowledge that is being given to him, that is being coached and instilled in him. And he's taking action on the floor, right? And I think when you have a player like that, that can take that in and then make things happen with it, I don't know. There's just something very, very positive, a very coachable player as well.
I think the year could be 2047.
Okay.
And we could be doing a podcast talking about, well, the Kings, because it's 2047, our voices are different.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, the Kings lost to the center tonight.
Yeah, they did.
And who should you think they should go after? And there's going to be 7 people in the chat that go, I mean, what about Boogie?
Boogie.
Cousins.
What?
he's 55, guys.
Yeah, but he's still so tall.
But he loves Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
His offense, man. Yeah. I just look at the chat. What about Boogie? What are we doing?
I mean, I saw it. I thought they were just joking.
Anyway, I think Isaac does make a lot of sense. And the perspective is with Isaac is he's doing this at the G League level playing what tonight he played 33 minutes. At the NBA level, I mean, depending on the night, maybe he's playing 10 minutes. You know, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, even if he, maybe.
I think he could do well. And so I imagine that will be the move. And you just hope that Sabonis is not out long term. It's just those hamstring things are tricky, dude. And when guys rush back, Halliburton rushed back last year.
That was,
wasn't the same the rest of the year.
But you also think about this too. It's like, I know you said this kind of in the beginning, you're like, hamstrings, that just a different beast. Like it's just different. And why it is, I know, but it's stupid. You shouldn't just be playing with broken fingers and broken thumbs and stuff, but the ability to play with a broken finger or something along those lines, like you can, when it comes to a hamstring, like your entire, that entire leg being explosive, being able to move the same, it's just so different. It's so different. It's the same thing. Like if you ever have like back problem or neck problem, it's just like, it's different. It takes a different type of recovery and what it stops you from doing and your body from doing out there on the floor. Like it makes sense why you need the time to actually heal.
Well, hopefully the Kings get some good news about Domantas Sabonis. But in the meantime, it's going to be the Jonas Valanciunas show at the center spot. And really grateful that the Kings got him at the deadline.
So thankful. And I wish they have had him for longer.
Could you imagine if they did not have him?
No, and you don't need to imagine it. And why would
I love that. It's amazing how 4 or 5 years ago when he laid out Chimezie Metu during a game and
he's
remember
dirty.
Metu like fractured his hand or whatever, missed the rest of the year. Screw him. And then just owning the Kings over the years. Now he's here and you're just like, dude, how do you, That's my Viking.
But not
that's
only
my guy.
That's my Viking.
His big beard.
But not only that, though, it's like you do learn more about someone too throughout that time of just like, oh, they're one of the best people ever, blah, blah. And it's like, I mean, what a lapse of judgment in a very physical game or whatever. Look how we're just talking about it now. A lapse of judgment in a very physical game. That's all it was. But seriously, it's like, obviously, you know that the intention of what it was and this person. So yeah, no, I love him. I'm so excited.
He's just great for vibes.
He's
great
so
teammate,
great for vibes.
Great guy. He plays his ass off. Physical. Adds a toughness that the Kings severely lack, dude. Just one of those guys. It's a fan favorite. Just brings the right energy. Maybe bring Metsu back, you know? Is his EuroLeague season done? Bring him back.
Is he
or someone in the chest said Papa Giannis. Bring Papa back. Giannis looks Giannis so different now. It's crazy.
I know.
Crazy. What did you think about the DeMar Dylan Brooks part two?
Oh, good. Now we get to talk about it.
Remember they had an issue last year where they really got into it.
I barely remember.
Oh, really?
I don't remember. Like,
oh, they got a little tussle when he was with the Bulls.
God, I don't know why I can't remember seeing it.
So it started in the third quarter, 10-minute mark. Debo and Brooks going, you know, head-to-head. Debo with the ball. There was a foul where he, like, bumps him. And Brooks does the thing where he, like, bumps you with his body, but his arms are out.
Yeah.
And, you know, DeMar falls down. DeMar, I don't know that there's a guy in the league who falls down more than DeMar.
Anthony Davis, for sure.
Yep, DeMar just 1 billion percent. But he's selling contact a lot. Yeah, DeMar is very much like the jump shoot. Oh, you know, or he gets bumped and like
or
falls down.
Or it's like
down.
A fadeaway to fall.
And sometimes I'm like, okay, you are getting older. It's just like, I'm falling and I can't get up. You know, I'm a little concerned.
That's so mad. He's not that old.
I know.
Damn.
Breaking news, I am older than him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he gets bumped. DeMar off balance. Did DeMar sell it? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. And that's kind of where it started. Then Debo got a bucket after that. A few minutes later, Debo and him are going head to head again. There's a turnover. DeMar's jawing a little bit, I think, at the ref. And then Dylan Brooks starts saying something. DeMar says something. They go face to face and then
forehead to forehead. Nose to a little.
Brooks like initiated that.
Yeah.
And then Brooks pushes him.
Yeah.
And then Debo steps up like, okay, I love Valanciunas getting in there. And I think Valanciunas just did like a point, like, go.
Get the fuck back.
I will crush you. Viking crush. And then double technicals. I like that stuff, to be honest. And
I
that's
do too.
What, to me, that's the chippiness I
Where's
dig
the,
in the game.
But tell
I did
me
that
too.
Yesterday in pickup at the Y, you know?
I get a double T, but no, you just talked. You didn't.
Or
push.
I called someone soft.
See, and someone else pushed you, but someone else like pushed you with the basketball, and it's like that's them losing control. It's the same thing with Dylan. Like that's him losing control. DeMar didn't lose control.
And also,
I didn't think it should be a double T, but at the same time, like
yes,
I get
it should have. Because all you're trying to do is squash it.
I know.
Because you know, like,
but you
that's
know what?
The best part about
you know,
double technicals.
But this is why, because I wish I would have pushed the fuck out of Dylan Brooks then.
But you also don't know what, like, DeMar was saying, too. I don't know. You know, that's some of the stuff that happens, too. It's like, okay, well, just everyone calm down, double T's, balance it out.
I just want to earn my tech, you know? I'm the type that's like, I want to punch someone in the face then. Like, or not punch someone in the face. Violence is not the answer. I want to push them just as hard as they push me. Equality.
Dylan Brooks, man. Annoying. Yeah. But again, probably a guy that if he's in Sacramento, but dude, he's just bring that. You can't discount like what he brings.
He's
intensity.
A really good guy.
Şengün tonight had 30 points in this game, 6 turnovers, 10 rebounds. He was 10 for 16 shooting, but also 10 for 17 at the line tonight for Şengün.
Yeah.
I mean, he left some points on the board.
He sure did.
He was a tough cover
for
sure.
But he got to the free throw line.
I thought they did a good job battling him, too, as much as they could. He's a load, man. Get you on those fakes.
He's big. He has finesse.
Yeah, he uses that arm a little bit.
I mean, hey, but it's the same thing we were talking about. Jonas Valanciunas using that little bit of a hip.
Oh,
on
man.
The, like, you got to do these things to your advantage.
I was
sometimes.
Losing my mind watching the Celtics last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I know
Jason
they
Tatum.
Ended up losing that game. What a win for the Cavs. But Tatum and Brown use their off arms so much and mm-hmm. not it's like it's extending it. It's I mean
to
it's
create
like a
that
weapon.
Space.
And
yeah.
I'm like, as a defender, what are you supposed to do when offensive players who already have an advantage in this league mm-hmm. are able to do that. Jaylen Brown is as ripped as me, you know, and think about that. Like, think about me coming in and push, you know what I mean? Yeah. You go flying.
Yeah.
It's tough. Okay. It's not that big of a difference.
You're like Deuce Tatum.
That's not funny.
Kind of. Same name, same body size.
That's kind of funny. But no, it's just like, I watch that with the Celtics. I'm like, how does Jaylen Brown get away with that? Jaylen Brown went, okay, I may have a weak offhand. So what am I going to do? I'm going to get yoked as fuck,
you know,
and just body people.
And I want to say, you might disagree. I think he's sly with it. Although we can see it from our angle, maybe sometimes on the floor, like he's understanding where he is on the floor, who's in front of him, if he can get away with it. I mean, like, that's what smart players do. Like, you try to sneak in some things to work in your advantage. And I mean, we've seen Sabonis do it with his elbow, the way he'll wrap it around someone to create that space to make sure that
he always hooks guys.
He can have that angle. Yeah, like I get it. But it can be annoying to watch and experience.
I love that the chat has evolved into everyone naming old Kings players. Luke Bahamute has been mentioned tonight.
Oh.
Rashad McCants, one of my least favorite Kings of all time. You know why he's my least favorite King of all time? One of mine. Well, first of all, I liked Rashad McCants as a player early on, young Deuce. And I was like, oh, we'll see what he looks like in Sacramento. That's a bad team. You never know. There was like a high five line. The Kings used to have a high five tunnel on the court before games. It was full of kids.
Yeah.
And all you do is like, you run through it.
Yeah,
high five.
And give quick high fives.
He like went around it. I'm like, ugh, you can't even high five kids on the court.
Bro.
Positive Deuce for a second.
Oh, okay.
I didn't tell you this.
What?
So
were you in the high five line tonight?
No. So I was in Stockton. They were playing the Sioux Falls Skyforce. Like, okay, Deuce, I don't care about the G League, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Sioux Falls Skyforce, they are the G League affiliate of the Miami Heat. A lot of quality players have gone through there. Anyway, an assistant coach with them, Jason Thompson.
Yes.
Who holds the Sacramento era record for games played. He's played the most games of any Sacramento King. Anyway, I talked to him before the game.
Oh.
He is.
Did he remember you at all?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I even went up with I don't know if you. Dude, it's good to see you. And he was like, God, you've been there. Like, I feel like you were there my rookie year. I'm like, yeah, I was. Like, anyway, which was cool because I was, you know, I was very young when Jason Thompson was around. But anyway, I was like, dude, like, how the coaching, you know, he's loving coaching. He coached 2 years at his alma mater before now joining this team. And
it's a grind,
he's enjoying
dude.
It. And he's like, yeah, I was doing the G League pre-draft camp. So I coach Boogie Ellis and Isaac Jones. I'm just so happy for them. And we're just like, I can't believe it's been this long since you've been in Sacramento. And he's just the nicest guy. He goes, yeah, I was there for the play. I went to a playoff game.
He was always so nice.
And he's like, I sold my house in 21, but I went to a playoff game. And I'm like, ah, man, he was so happy. And just seeing him out there with those guys, it was cool to see him.
That was someone that was like, even as a player, if you got frustrated with his game or whatever, I mean, like,
great guy,
just a great guy always. But then now this is my favorite thing. When you see former players actually understand the grind of coaching and they do things like take a G League coaching job to work to the next level, it's night and day what they were doing in the NBA. It's night and day to anything you could ever be doing, even as a college assistant or head coach.
Yeah. Let's just note this. It's like, I've never been to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
But the Miami Heat G League affiliate is in South Dakota. I'm convinced that they have like their players that they like go there to make them go through the grind.
Get better.
Meaning you're not in Miami.
Nope.
Like you're
mentally
not in Florida.
And physically,
it's like, no.
You're in South Dakota.
But it's an awesome. He's like saying, he goes, you know, it's funny. The fans there remind me of Sacramento because like they always go there. They're super passionate. Like
that's so cool.
Anyway, it
that's
was really cool to see him. So shout out Jason Thompson on the coaching journey. I was like, you could have done broadcasting too. He goes, I know, I'm still like thinking about it, but he's focused on coaching.
That's smart.
So, anyway,
you make better money in coaching.
This is a tough one tonight.
Yeah.
Are simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. The poll question, who was the player of the game?
Okay.
The options I put out there.
Okay.
Zach LaVine.
Okay.
Keon Ellis. Mm-hmm. Big JV.
Ooh.
And everyone, team win.
Wow.
Where do you fall tonight? Big JV, Jonas Valanciunas.
My heart goes to everyone, team win. But, you know, I guess it would be Jonas Valanciunas because he played starter minutes, had to step up, and he stepped up big for this team.
Morgan, if Sabonis went down and Valanciunas was not on the team,
rest in peace.
I mean, that's just the best example. You got a legit backup center who could play. There's no doubt about it. You give love to everybody. It was a team win. You give love to Keon Ellis for stepping up like he always does defensively and coming up big offensively. Zach LaVine playing good two-way ball tonight. But Jonas Valanciunas, 15 points, 14 boards, 5 of them offensive rebounds. He matched his career high with 4 steals. He also had 3 blocks. How many verticalities? The screen assist at 10. He is our simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Check out northwestexteriors.com. Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, you can upgrade your window system during the 30th anniversary sale. Purchase 9 windows and a patio door for a huge discount. Reach out to Northwest Exteriors today for so many more details and so many other deals.
You know why? Because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Morgan Reagan, next up for the Sacramento Kings, an off day, and then they head to Dallas to take on the Mavs.
Okay.
An update tonight, too, at this hour. We could tell you, the Sacramento Kings ahead of the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA standings. Crazy.
Insane.
This is the, how crazy, I mean, it's all tied up. Look at this right now. 31-28 Kings, 32-29 Minnesota T-Wolves in the ninth spot. Dallas dropped to 10th tonight, 32-29. The Golden State Warriors lost tonight in Philly. A couple of things tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see these games, obviously.
Yeah.
The Sixers?
Yep.
The Sixers and beat out for the year.
Yep.
If I would have told you that the Sixers beats the Warriors tonight, Warriors did not have Jimmy Butler, you would have said, who had the big game for the Sixers? Tyrese Maxey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maxey, 5 points on 2-for-14 shooting. If I would have told you the Sixers beat the Warriors tonight and Tyrese Maxey finished with 5 points, you'd be like, okay, I don't see how math is not
so
mathing.
Paul George, maybe, right?
Paul George. He stopped the podcast.
Yeah, he's focusing.
He's not podcast P anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So what did he have?
17 points.
Okay, well then wait. What? Wait,
if I would have told you that the Sixers, without Embiid, got a combined 22 points from George and Maxey, what would you have said?
I would have said, okay.
Andre Drummond must have had 20 and 10.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Quentin Grimes, 44 points. This might go down as one of the most random 40-point games in NBA history. I like Quentin Grimes. Good player.
I didn't realize how young he was.
How old is
24.
He? 24. 24 years old. But you don't...
44 points.
18 of 24 shooting, 6 of 9 from 3.
So...
talk about a heater.
Obviously...
what?
The Warriors pre- and post-game show.
On ABC! It was a nationally televised game.
The pre- and post-game show was still on. And so, like, Bonte was there, and he, like, comes in, the Kings, and he's like, yeah, Warriors are down 12, you know, and, like, Paul George and Tyrese Maxey aren't even doing much. And I was like... oh, I looked at him. I said, the Warriors have them right where they want them. Like, seen this story before. Never going to count out Steph Curry. Like, this is what happens. And then I saw this. As I was leaving, I saw that there's a minute left and the Sixers were like up 3. And I was like, oh, even then at that point, I was like, Warriors will figure it out. Like, Steph is going to hit a half court shot, something. Love seeing that tonight. on top of a Kings W over the Houston Rockets? Love.
Jamar in the chest is not juice. That goes to Malachi Flynn last season when he had 50. No, that was for sure random. That was one of the most random 50-point games. I'm talking about this 44-point. See, I think, when did the Malachi Flynn game happen, too? Malachi like Flynn.
End of season?
What's crazy is, like, let's see here. See, that happened April 3rd.
Okay.
There's stuff that happens, 50-point games that happen in April, or weird games that happen in April where, like, it's the end of the season. Like, this shit is just, these teams are checked out. You're just kind of going through it. Oh, my God, random. Like, Jamal Crawford had one of those in his final year. It's still, you know, it's March 1st. This is against the Warriors, who have been red hot on national TV.
In your,
shorthand, like
shorthand, yeah, like you're down for the rest of the season.
This has without, a little more significance.
Yeah, it's wild,
crazy. 44 points for him in the win. Steph Curry at 29 on 10 of 18. No Jimmy Butler, and they lost 126 to 119. So that loss moved the Warriors. They're in the sixth spot still. I think they might. Did they jump up last night? Anyway, they were in the. I don't know.
No. I didn't see them in the sixth. And
they were in the sixth.
When?
I think yesterday.
Oh, okay,
anyway, they're
okay.
In seventh now. They're 32 okay. and 28. Kings just a half game behind them. Now, the Kings schedule we know is tough, but the Kings are a half game behind them because the Kings jumped from 10 to 8 tonight. How were they able to do that? Dallas lost to Milwaukee tonight. A tough loss for Dallas, 132 to 117. P.J. Washington played just 15 minutes tonight. He left the game with an ankle injury. So P.J. Washington goes down for Dallas. Sabonis goes down for the Kings. In the game, Kyrie had 31. Giannis, 29, 9, and 9. Dame had 28.
Damn.
So Dallas falls below Sacramento, and the Kings have a chance to get some more separation on Monday.
Crazy. And, like, that is why it's so important every time we're like, control what you can control. Like, other teams are going to fall.
Yeah.
They're going to be like the Warriors and get hot again, whatever. Control what you can control. And that's why these games against the bad teams are so important. But when you can find these wins,
man,
and not only these wins, but play like you did against the better teams, you're giving yourself, I guess, like a look as to how you really can play all the time with this roster. And that's even without Sabonis tonight.
Well, I'm glad you just reminded me of something that I failed to mention. We were talking about the Sabonis stuff. You know, they run so much stuff through Sabonis.
Not the last couple of games.
No, I know. It's been a little different since the trade.
Ultimately, yes.
But when I saw tonight with Valanciunas just running the two-man game with a variety of players, like we mentioned with LaVine, DeRozan, Monk, and Keon Ellis, there's no reason why they can't do that with Sabonis. Like, it's not like Valanciunas is like, yeah, I know, but I'm just talking about, like, when he gets back, like, I understand you'd still want to run through some stuff at the elbow, handoffs. They haven't been running much DHOs. Maybe making it even more simplistic, okay? Like, let Sabonis pass a little bit. I've always said, I don't think Sabonis is, people will say, like, oh, because of the assist that he's a great passer.
Yeah.
I don't view him as a great passer. I think he's good. But, like, Jokic is a great passer.
Sure.
Hartenstein is a great passer. I think I'm talking about bigs.
No,
I mean,
get
back
it.
In the day, C-Webb and Vlade and Brad, these guys were really good passers. Sabonis hasn't always showed me of, like, hit guys backdoor, behind the back. He's more of like a handoff. I'm going to get you, create you space.
But he is capable of a solid pocket pass, like that splits defenders, you know, but yes, I get what you're saying.
I don't think he's that type of guy.
So I understand.
I guess my point is, you know, I think tonight's a kind of a good lesson even for the coaching staff. Like, when Sabonis does get back, and hopefully it's not too long, is like, let's like get to basics a little bit. Like, let's just run some traditional pick and rolls where, like, Sabonis is just creating space for these guards to get stuff. And
that's it.
They did a lot of that with him and Monk.
Yeah.
Although teams are blowing that up more. Like,
do it with everyone.
Yeah.
Do it with everyone.
I look at the assist numbers tonight and you're like, okay, 6 from DeRozan, 4 from LaVine, 4 from Monk. It's just a variety of guys. They're able to make plays.
And that's the thing. They're able to make plays. They're able. What? Ugh. It is so fun as a guard having a big that you could just utilize in so many different ways, in a DHO, in pick and roll action, in maybe you're just like slipping and Sabonis is finding you over the top. Like, those are the things that he is good at doing. The variety is there. The trust just has to be there to do it all, you know? And I think that goes for everyone. And like you said, even the coaching staff.
So going back to the Mavs real fast, they lose 132 to 117. A couple of things. We should know Quentin Grimes had the 44. He got traded at the deadline for Caleb Martin, who has not played a game for Dallas. If you're a Dallas fan, you're probably like, really? Like, we had to deal with Luka. AD goes down. And then we got fucking Quentin Grimes.
Scoring 44.
44 against, to win over the Warriors. Yep. It's like, gee. And Caleb hasn't even played for us.
I know.
So Caleb's still out with a hip. AD's still out.
Yeah.
Gafford's still out. Lively's still out. The Mavs started Moses Brown at center tonight.
Whoa.
Like, this is where we're at with them right now. And then you lose PJ Washington. This is a team that is really been ravaged by injuries. You feel for them. Like, because I think when AD's there, Lively, Gafford, with the addition of Max Christie, who's been really good, especially defensively, not great tonight, with 5 points. And then you got Kyrie. I think they're a really good defensive team. I think the Kings are getting the Mavs at a really good time right now.
I agree. No, I agree. And even being down Sabonis going into this game, I think ultimately
you should be fine in this matchup.
That's it. And it's like, I say fine. You say fine. There's still weapons that we've seen the Kings have challenges against. Of course. No. I'm just saying in general. And that's why I'm excited to see what type of Kings team that we do get. Because I think that's telling too, especially after 3 straight wins and 2 of them being against some really shitty teams, 1 really good win against the Houston Rockets. How are you going to respond in this next one?
I said on our bonus podcast that we dropped yesterday that I was like, just get one on this road trip. And like, not, I don't want just one, but like, let's just get one more after the use. It'd be 2-2. So they've already got their 2 road wins.
Yeah.
With 2 to go. Man, come if on. You can get one, come the on. Dallas one. Then you take on Denver and you're just like, okay. And then get ready for the emotions that come March 7th. Kings and Spurs. And it sounds like D-Fox will be playing in that game. De'Aaron Fox, by the way, hit a game winner tonight against Memphis with like a couple of seconds left.
Ooh, to beat
the Memphis Grizzlies, who are playing shorthanded tonight. I don't think Bane played. No Desmond Bane or Ja Morant tonight. Jaren Jackson had 42. In the loss, De'Aaron Fox, the game winner, had 20 points on 7 of 17, shooting 1 of 5 from 3. But yeah, game winner for De'Aaron Fox. It's going to be a wild ass night.
I don't even like thinking about it.
We don't have to. We've got 2 games left. We'll talk about it as we get closer.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
We did. We talked a lot about it on our bonus pod.
We did. We did.
Which, if you're a YouTube, why not a Plus member, you can get it, or patreon.com/deuceandmo.
Appreciate everyone.
Yeah, appreciate you guys so much. Let's just look at my double tracks. You know what's so funny is trying to, I'm like, what does this say? Oh.
Wait, let me guess what it says.
Morgan trying to read my handwriting.
Hold on. Royal Fear in Found 90 Ink.
No, it said forced a few in the final 90 seconds. I just caught
that
it.
That was close.
Yeah, it's very close, Morgan. You absolutely crushed it with that one. All right, Morgan, let's get to some final thoughts.
Oh, my God.
It can be about anything. Life, the game, something that happened.
As always, it can be about anything.
Just reminding you.
Did you have a final thought?
I asked for your final thought, Morgan Reagan. Well,
no. My final thought. It's a Saturday night, which is super fun to watch basketball on a Saturday night.
I ask for your final thought. And your final thought is, it's a Saturday night. Like, it's fun to watch basketball.
You've shit on me ever since you said final thought. It could be this is, and I said one thing. Then you shit on me. Then I start saying my final thought. Then you shit on me. You shit on me. What?
Just give us something. You're on a show.
What? But
entertain me.
Wait, why can't I just like soak in the moment? Why can't I soak in my moment?
Soak it in.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun tonight. I had a lot of fun watching good basketball. A little nervous about what lies ahead with the adversity that could lie ahead. But I'm also excited for whatever challenge comes too.
I like that.
Thanks. Let me process my freaking emotions.
Yeah. We don't know about the Sabonis thing. So why freak out about it at the moment?
Why are you freaking out?
Why?
Why are you freaking out?
Yeah. It's, guess what? It was going to be tough with Sabonis. And now at least you have Valanciunas. We'll see what it looks like. Good opportunity coming up when they take on the Mavs on Monday.
What's your final thought? I'm excited
for it. My final thought? I appreciate it tonight. I like the effort tonight.
I
like the physicality. I like the pace. I like the team effort. The ball was popping. The defense, the communication was there. You matched toughness. A team that did not want to lose to you for a third time.
Yeah.
And they got it done.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really pleased with it. My final thought is one of my favorite wins of the season. I'm changing it to one of my favorite wins. Well, because the Miami double OT comeback.
It was
stamped. It was invisible ink.
Oh.
I use the invisible ink one.
Very strange.
So now I stamped it with one of my favorite, with the Miami double OT one.
Okay.
Man, you know what sucks is the Fox 60-point game was a loss.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Again, was that Minnesota? No,
yeah,
the next
it was Minnesota.
Night? Okay.
And then they Utah the next night.
That's what it was.
The Boston, the one at Boston. Mm-hmm. But everyone wins in Boston now. the one in Minnesota was good when the first game after
Shit,
the trade.
Are these all getting stamps?
Well, yeah. We got like four, one of my favorites. Yeah. I'm allowed to have like at least 15 favorites.
Well, you came into this podcast with like a big stamp of approval of.
And someone's saying Boston is still the best. Now, you know, you could say that. That's fine. It was a really good one. And when you really need one, this is like, think about this. Sabonis going down in the first minute of the game. You are trying to build some positive momentum, trying to see if you could beat a good team. After the deadline, after the All-Star break, you beat the Hornets and you beat the Jazz. It was kind of a mixed bag at times. Some people were trying to discredit it. You can't discredit this one. And that's my point is, you fought through adversity. You were tough mentally and physically. One of my favorite wins of the season. You guys enjoy your Sunday. We love all you basketball sickos. Can't believe how many of you guys are here tonight.
You're amazing.
It really means the world to us.
It's so cool. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Saturday.
We love you guys so, so, so much. But we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Enjoy the beam. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.